Time to take a look at how you can achieve your maximum level of physical fitness. Larry Mueller here. My guest today, Dustin Maher, a personal trainer, works out of the Madison area. He has Fit Fun boot camps. He's an ACE-certified personal trainer. Some websites. We can talk with him a little bit about that, too. But also, take your questions about getting in shape and staying in shape and what are the best ways to do it. Give us a call with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. And Dustin, welcome back.
It's always great to be on.
You had a great cruise. I went on to your website. I saw some video that people looked like they were having a great time.
Yeah, we brought 24 people this time to the Caribbean, the Bahamas, and beautiful weather. And we worked out every morning. First day was at 6:30 a.m. Each day it got half an hour later as we probably got a little bit more tired. But we had a great time and definitely be doing it again. So hopefully we'll get a bunch of your listeners to come next year with us.
Well, it did look like a lot of fun. Your website, I should just give that website.
Sure, it's at Dustin Maher Fitness, D-U-S-T-I-N, Maher, M-A-H-E-R, fitness.com. And on the right-hand side, you can see where you can sign up for a free fitness newsletter. I send it out content-packed three times a week of inspirational stuff, motivational, educational, a lot of different things. So I know probably a couple thousand of your listeners already get that, but I recommend if you guys have not checked that out, do it. It's a great free resource.
We have callers online already. Somebody asked me, how many days a week should a person work out? And let's get that out.
That question has a lot of different answers depending on what your goals are, how well you're eating, the intensity of the exercise. Generally, the more intense you can make exercise, the shorter period of time, shorter frequency you need. So 30 to 45 minutes, 3 to 4 times a week. I think you should be at least exercising 3 times a week. You may be able to do just fine with 2 days a week, but 3 to 4, and doing something every day. It doesn't have to be super intense every day, but just from a mental standpoint, from an energy standpoint, that'll really help you out. But if you're running for a marathon or you're getting ready for a marathon training program, you might need to be more frequent in the exercise because it's low intensity, because you're not really elevating the heart rate too much. You're not breaking down as much muscle tissue as, say, high intensity weight training or interval training, something like that.
Let's turn to Irma in Glendale. Hi, Irma. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for letting me on the air.
Sure.
I have been seeing on television a much advertised shoe out of Skechers, and they say if you walk, run, or even just stand, you get a good workout, and I don't know if there's any credence to that or not.
That's a great question. I've been getting that asked a lot because they've been doing a lot of advertising for it. And I haven't seen really any research studies on it, but my gut tells me, common sense tells me, it's just a great marketing gimmick, to have more shoes sold. And basically, yeah, it's kind of a rounded edge. I've got friends who wear them.
Yeah, explain what
the... So basically, instead of having kind of a flat shoe sole, in the middle of the shoe, it's kind of rounded. Okay. So as you walk, it's kind of a rounding, so you're rolling a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I think they say it tones the butt up more. I don't know. I really don't think it does. And it's certainly not going to cause you to lose any fat, for sure. I don't know from a biomechanics standpoint if it's even healthy. I haven't really looked into that. But no, I mean, if it's too good to be true, it is. And that's definitely one of those cases. So you can't substitute for good old squats, lunges, step-ups, deadlifts for those lower body toning exercises.
All right. Thank you, Irma, for calling. Appreciate it. Rachel in La Crosse, on to you. Hi, Rachel.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm a regular fitness person, and I keep fit year-round. And this time of year, I start into training programs for long-distance triathlons in the summer, a half Ironman. And my question is, I am on a fairly aggressive training program, but sometimes life interferes. So like yesterday, I was supposed to run an hour and it just didn't happen. And so like one day a week, I missed a workout. Do you have any advice for the best way to, if you're going to miss a workout, is it okay?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's totally fine, especially if you're probably working out 5 or 6 days a week already. Sometimes that off day is a good thing for you. If even if you have like 5 or 10 minutes though, or 15 minutes instead of that hour, make the most of it. And to make the most of it, you increase the intensity of it. So if it's a running day, what I would do is do either 10 or 15 minutes as fast as you can, or you could do 1 minute as fast as you can and then walk the next minute. Do 1 minute fast as you can, walk the next minute for 10 to 15 minutes. And that's going to not only give you a good fat burning workout, but also increase your aerobic capacity and anaerobic capacity.
Which is fine, except nothing I do is fast.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's true.
The reason I do long distance is because I'm slow.
Well, it's all relative. So yeah. You know, your fast and my fast may be different, but it doesn't matter. It's the intensity level. So getting that heart rate up past your comfort level, which would be a lot faster than training, obviously, for a half Ironman, which is a pretty slow pace.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you for calling. Christopher in Land O'Lakes. We're on to you now. Hi, Christopher.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a question. I'm a Nordic skier, and I train quite a lot, maybe like 14 hours a week, pretty serious about it. And I was thinking about becoming a vegetarian, and I was wondering if that's feasible, if that's a good idea or not.
Well, that's a little bit past my scope of you know, expertise, but I mean, I know there's plenty of vegetarians out there that do long distance activities, even like bodybuilding, which would be, I would think, counterintuitive. You know, I know of a couple of bodybuilders who are very successful on a vegetarian diet. So I think it's definitely okay to do. I don't know if it's ideal, but if that's something you really want to do, I would really look at seeing a specialist who specializes in creating a vegetarian diet that fits your needs.
Yeah, good advice.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join us, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us. The email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org, and we'd love to hear from you. I wonder, we've had this question in the past, but it's still, I hear it a lot, and that has to do with plateauing. Mm-hmm. Can you really avoid plateauing?
You know, I think you can avoid long-term plateauing, but, you know, short-term plateauing, because it's hard to know when you are in the process of it until it's almost been there for a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, the biggest things to do is you got to change things up. You got to keep things fresh, because if your body is getting used to something, it's going to be comfortable with it, and then it's going to plateau. So different things, you know, if you've been just always doing running and you want to increase your speed, do intervals, increase the intensity of it, do swimming, you know, do weight training. There's so many studies now coming out that strength in the legs equates to faster running time, longer endurance, more power in the legs. So do a lot of squats, do a lot of lunges if you're running. And, you know, if it's fat loss related, you may have to switch up your diet a little bit. Maybe you're going, you know, higher carbs, go lower carbs for a while, or go higher fat, you know, switch things up a little bit, change the calorie ranges, maybe change how many times a day you eat. Just changing things up is the biggest thing. And always trying to progress as well, trying to do things at a more challenging, more intense pace, overloading the muscles and overloading the body.
We have an email here from Jim. He's a 51-year-old male looking to get out of my cycle of no exercise and gaining weight. I'm currently 300 pounds, and every year I put on more weight. I consume 2,000 calories per day for the last 3 months and have not lost any weight. What are your suggestions?
Well, I don't know how closely he's tracked those 2,000 calories. I mean, I would expect that his size, he should be dropping weight at 2,000 calories, definitely. So unless there's something metabolically going on with his body, I would be shocked, unless his metabolism is so slow from all the inactivity, which could be the case. But for most men, even like at 200 pounds, they should not be, you know, gaining weight at a 2,000 calorie diet. So I would get that checked out, you know, whether to make sure you are consuming 2,000 calories, because I think studies show we overestimate by about 30%, or underestimate our food consumption by 30%.
So keeping a diary or something.
Keeping a food diary, and you got to like weigh everything out. It's meticulous. It's painful at the beginning, but it's so powerful. Besides that, you know, just starting to get moving for you. I know at 300 pounds, you know, doing really high intensity exercise is probably not the greatest thing. Swimming or anything in the water is going to be great for your joints. Biking's great for the joints. Even just walking, starting off, you know, trying to create healthy habits in your life and then getting around other people who are going to support you. So I think it's great to hang out with people who are fitter than you because they're going to be able to push you, hopefully motivate you. But also maybe finding a few people who are similar in your shoes who are really committed to it. And the key is to be committed because it could be easy for you to hang around a few others, you know, and then when times get tough or, you know, it's easy to slack off. So you got to have someone who's as motivated as you. And a quick technique to use is you're 51 right now. Look at your life 5, 10, 15 years from now. You know, at 300 pounds, you may not live to be 60. That's the truth, you know? And you've got to really look at the benefits of exercise, benefits of really focusing on the eating towards your long-term success. And you need to create those strong leverage points in your life to realize that, gosh, I got to do this. There's no other choice. This is just what I have to do.
And good luck, Jim. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Jim, you know, sign up for my newsletter. Get that every day. Get motivated. See the success stories. Surround yourself. Start reading success stories from other people that you can connect with, you know, whether that's online or in person. Seeing other people doing it in front of you is so powerful.
And your address again for
it's
that?
It's Dustin, D-U-S-T-I-N, Maher, M-A-H-E-R, fitness.com. And again, right on the right-hand side of that webpage, it's clear. You put your name and email, get my free newsletter of pure content.
Let's go to Lucy in Eau Claire next. Hi, Lucy. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm 57 years old. I have a job that I'm very busy with, and I know that I am too fat and I am out of shape. What is the best way to get started? What is the best diet to follow? And how does one get started to even motivate to get going?
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's like a 10-hour answer right there. That's a lot of big questions. So I got to kind of stay general with this question. But, you know, the first thing to do is get into a exercise program that is about 3 times a week. I recommend about 20 to 30 minutes of strength training, 15 to 20 minutes of cardio, and then maybe a little bit of core training, a little bit of stretching. And you can split that up, you know, into 2 workouts. So you can do that every other day as well, and you make it 6 days a week. So it can only be, you know, 15 to 30 minutes a day, something like that. And, you know, if you don't know what strength training is or exercises, you know, my website's got plenty of information for it. Or you can just go online or buy books or hire a trainer. Tons of different ways to do it. From an eating standpoint, the biggest thing is just cleaning up all the junk in your diet. Most people know a lot about how to eat healthy. It's just actually doing it. So getting rid of all the processed foods that you have in the house. If you look at any label and you see like 10 or 15 ingredients in it, you know, get rid of it for the most part. Try to buy things that are single ingredients or are made up of single ingredients. Start trying to spend a little extra time cooking yourself. Not a great TV show to watch right now. It's called Food Revolution. Jamie Oliver. It's on, I think, Friday nights on ABC. Awesome show where he really shows the importance of knowing what's in your food and just eating fresh. You know, it's really hard to be overweight if you're eating all natural foods. Your body's going to tell your body when to stop eating because it's got so many good nutrients in them. It's the problem is we eat such nutrient void food. And so we always are craving more food because we're not getting the right nutrients our body's wanting. And then motivation-wise, I don't know if you listened to that last caller, Jim, what I told him, but, you know, just start surrounding yourself with the people that you want to be like. Get on my newsletter. Start reading, going on different fitness and health websites that you trust, that you see that are getting results for people. You know, I've got DVDs, fitness DVDs as well, not trying to plug, but just get on some sort of structured program.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lucy, for calling, and good luck. Call us back in a month and let us know.
Definitely. Yeah. Send me an email, too, if you want.
All right. There we have it. Let's go to Diane in Rice Lake. Diane, hello to you.
Hello. My question is, I'm 64 years old. I do have the exercise habit, and I've had that for over 30 years. I usually walk every day 3 miles. And I 2 to 3 times a week do a high-intensity step aerobic class, maybe 50 minutes plus of aerobics.
Okay.
And been going good, but the instructor has really been upping the intensity over the last couple of years. And I'm wondering, what is the maximum heart rate that one should attain in a class like that? I checked myself within the last couple of weeks, and I was at 95% of my maximum according to my age, and I did notice for about an hour after class I could feel some sensations in my heart. I wouldn't say necessarily a pain, but a sensation.
Yeah.
And so I was concerned about that and wondering if I'm pushing it too hard.
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's not a one-size-fits-all answer on that. I mean, at your age, I'm not opposed to people getting their heart rate high. I mean, in my boot camps and stuff, we try to get to about 95%. Also take in mind that 220 minus your age for maximum heart rate is just an estimate. It may be 5 to 10 beats higher or lower. So maybe you're at 90%. But the thing I'm concerned about is what you said you felt afterwards. So I would say that intensity was too high for you. And, you know, if you're concerned more about it, I would, you know, definitely get checked with the doctor to see if there's anything going on with that. But I'm not opposed, again, to pushing your body. But if you're having those signs after it, that shouldn't be happening.
Okay, well, thank you for that.
All right,
thank you very much for calling. Dustin Maher, our guest today as we talk physical fitness with him. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you'd like to join in our conversation, maybe you have a question about physical fitness, getting in shape or staying in shape, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. Michelle in Portage emailed to ask what would be the best, most intensive cardio exercise that you could get the most calorie burn if you have knees that are bad, meaning she can't run.
Yep.
Would it be biking, ski machine, treadmill?
Great question. And I think you can get it in all those, swimming included. They're all relatively the same if you push yourself. I find those ski machines to be awfully awkward myself. You know, maybe you have better success than me at those. It does incorporate a little bit of arms. Ellipticals, I'm generally like, I hate the most because people just slack on them. But if you get ones with the arm movements and you put it at a really high resistance and you push and pull with the arms as the legs go, that's pretty crazy intense. Walking up hills, I don't know how your knees can handle that, but I have bad knees myself, and sometimes I'll set the incline on my treadmill up to like 15%, which is usually the highest treadmills can go. And I walk at about a 4.5 mile per hour pace, which I have long legs, so that may be a little fast for you. But if I do that for 1 to 2 minutes, I'm pretty winded after that. So that's an option. I don't know how stairs aren't too bad for me, at least going up them, sometimes the down part. So if you have a building where you can climb stairs going up and then take the elevator back down, that is one of the best strengthening leg exercises as well as cardio. So yeah, they all work. You just got to really bump up the intensity of it.
On to Michelle in Reedsburg now. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I have a question about swimming.
Okay.
I'm just looking for your thoughts and suggestions about people who have physical or medical challenges who can't do the high-intensity exercises but can and do enjoy swimming, but I'm unsure about, you know, the length of, you know, a good swim, and just your recommendations about good things to do in a pool.
Yeah. So a couple of things you can do, you know, if you just are doing, it doesn't matter what stroke you're doing, just, you know, you could swim 1 or 2 laps as fast as you can, and I would stick between 30 seconds and a minute, so however many laps you would get in a 30 second to a minute, and you can either completely stop and just kind of, you know, either tread water or just, you know, hold yourself up against the side and rest for 1 to 2 minutes until your heart rate gets not back down to resting, but to a comfortable level, and just do it again. And then you can do that for 5 to 10 to 15 times for a total of maybe 30 to up to 40 minutes would be the tops with that. Another good thing you can do is kind of like treading water, but running basically in the water and pumping your arms, keeping your arms underwater. And the same principle applies there. 15 to 60 seconds, as hard as you can. Recover for a little bit, do it again for 15 to 30 minutes, somewhere around there. So anything you're doing in the pool right now, just do it at a higher level, to a, you know, the intensity level where you're not able to sustain it past, you know, 30 seconds to a minute.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Right, even kicking in the water, just kicking, holding the edge of the pool and just kicking, that's going to do, you know, get your heart rate up.
All right, let's go to Mark in Appleton now. Mark, hi.
Hi, I'm 62 years old, and recently I've had treatment with for lymphoma, and actually been pretty active up to this point. I'm slowing down because of that a bit. But the question I have is my knees and legs seem to be weaker. Is there some specific exercise that would maybe help that out?
Yeah, definitely. And you want to strengthen both the front and the back, so the quads and the hamstrings and the calf muscles for that matter. So exercise that you can do are squats. You can either hold a, you know, put a bar on your back, or you can just hold dumbbells by your side, depending on how weak you are. You know, some people who are really overweight, you know, just a body weight squat can be pretty sufficient. And if your knees are hurting you, you know, you may not be able to squat down quite as low. But the goal eventually is to get down so your legs are parallel with the ground. In other words, your knees are kind of at your butt level. So you get down nice and low. It's like I tell people that you're sitting on a toilet. Some people can't squat very well. Mm-hmm. But if I tell them, just like you sit on a toilet, and then they can get it. So,
how long would you recommend doing that? How many squats?
Yeah, I would do, well, it depends on the weight. If you're holding dumbbells by your side, I would do starting off 15 to 20 reps for three sets every other day.
Every other day.
Yep. You could, if you had the weight a little heavier, you know, like 8 to 10 reps, 8 to 12 reps, three or four sets of that. Another one, lunges you can do. They're a great exercise, but if your knees are really weak, sometimes that's not.
Well,
sometimes
they're not real weak, but they're weak in any way.
Yeah, well, lunges are a good one too, front or back lunges. Back lunges are generally a little bit easier. Step-ups are a great exercise if you have a bench or even like 18 inches or higher is usually what I like to go for.
12, was that 8 inches?
18.
Oh, 18.
Yeah. Or like a fireplace, those, you know, you can step up into a fireplace ledge, anything, and just step up and down. And again, you can add weights to that depending on your level. Same reps apply to that one as well. And then you want to work the hamstrings as well. So deadlifts, like a pretty straight-legged version, so you just have a little bit of bend in the knees, and you're hinging at the hips, keeping your back really flat, holding a little bit of weight right in front of you. And if you don't know what that looks like, just, you know, Google or watch some videos on YouTube on deadlifts. And then another one you can do for the hamstrings is called a hip raise or a bridge. So you're laying on your back, feet are on the ground, they're bent, your legs are bent, and then you just lift your hips up into the air. And at the top of that movement, you're pressing those hips up using the glutes and hamstrings. Your knees, hips, and shoulders should be in one straight line.
Okay.
And then you could do that single leg as well if that's too easy for you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah,
thank
you're
you
welcome.
Very much.
All right. Thank you for calling, Mark. Kelly in Minneapolis. On to you now. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. I am a will-be 45-year-old woman on Saturday, and I am significantly overweight, over 200 pounds. I intermittently incorporate exercise into my life, very intermittently. My question is twofold. One, when I exercise, my heart rate is so darn high, and I don't know what's safe or unsafe. I can do 30 minutes of an elliptical at about 177, and that's just fine for me. And the second question is, I can't seem to find any decent websites or resources to help me with, because of the weight, appropriate strength training to get into and core training that takes into account, you know, my large middle.
Yeah.
So those are my questions.
All right.
Well, I'll give a shameless plug this time. I've got core DVDs out there that have worked for women or men, 300, 350 pounds. I know some of them are on that. So you can just check my website out, DustinMaherFitness.com, DustinMaherFitness.com. And we've also got Fit Moms for Life, which is a monthly DVD program for strength training. And again, we have women, you know, and men doing it who are 300 plus pounds. So it works for everyone. You can modify things. You know, I show modifications as well. But the key is, you know, is just to get into a routine, because you said intermittently. You know, you can do anything for a couple days or a week or two, but if it's not developing lifelong habits, you know, it's kind of futile. So I'm trying to think of some other good resources.
I also have two herniated discs, so I'm very afraid to try using things on course.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I would check with the doctor to see if there's any limitations you have. And then with the high heart rate as well, you know, is there a safe or unsafe? I mean, if your doctor clears you for exercise, you know, he's ultimately should be kind of what you go to for that. I mean, we certainly have, you know, obese people in our boot camps and stuff who get their heart rate up, you know, basically to their max and don't have issues with it. But again, you have to check with your doctor to see what they recommend.
All right. Good luck. Thank you, Kelly, for calling. And let's turn to Melissa in Toma next. Hi, Melissa.
Hello. I'm a 28-year-old woman, and I've started ballet in the last couple years. And I read somewhere that you should do more endurance training outside of ballet. And I've read that you're supposed to keep your heart rate fairly low. So I've been doing running and a little bit of rollerblading, cross-country skiing. Do you have any recommendations?
For low-intensity exercise, keep your heart rate low? Is that your question?
Right. Is that what I need to do for endurance training?
For endurance, yeah. I mean, I think those are all great ways to do endurance. You could do biking. Yeah, I mean, I don't know a lot about ballet. You know, I'm not a ballet instructor, but I would think that those are all good long distance cardio exercises. And you know, doing it for 45 minutes to an hour, which would be more low intense than doing it for 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay, so I shouldn't push myself really hard.
If that's what I mean, I'm all about more higher intensity stuff. But if that's what they want you to do, low intensity, and that's all they say, you know, that's what I would recommend doing.
Well, how would the high intensity help me more?
I mean, it probably wouldn't help you from a ballet standpoint per se, but just from a lifestyle standpoint, you know, having a stronger heart that can pump out more oxygen, and you know, if you ever were in a situation where you need to exert more effort than just the low intensity exercise, you know, it's good. I don't know if you have a weight problem or not, but generally, higher intensity exercise will burn more calories over a 24-hour period.
Okay, I'm fairly low weight.
Yeah.
So should I maybe then break it up, do a high intensity one day, and then...
Yeah, I would do that. I mean, for ballet, I don't think doing high intensity is going to, you know, hurt your performance by any means. So it can't hurt you. And it's always good to break things up and change things up. Otherwise, your body will get used to any one thing.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling. We have Andrew from East Troy emailed, my son and I have a good free weight lifting program, but would like your suggestions on the most effective exercises for the main abdominal muscles. It's my understanding that the old military type sit-ups with feet anchored are not as effective as crunches, bikes, exercise ball sit-up exercises, and may actually be detrimental.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a big fan of the crunch exercises, especially one where your feet are anchored down. In my Got Core DVD, we have like 45 or 50, actually, I think we got 50 or 50 exercises. And I like to use the ball because it really creates instability, which requires you to keep the core tighter. And I'm not a huge fan of crunching exercise in general. It's a very awkward move. Our bodies, we don't really crunch. We don't need to crunch very much in our lives. Maybe when we're laying, you know, getting up from bed, we're sitting up. But, you know, we really want to focus on those deep core muscles. And if you're looking for the vanity, you know, looking for the six pack and stuff, it's not about getting a strong outer core. It's about reducing the body fat. So what I really like to do for core muscles is focus on the deep core first, the transverse. Planking movements are the best ones for that. So front planks, side planks. You can use a ball. I like to use a ball to make it a little tougher. And then also don't forget your lower back exercises. So you got back extensions. You can do that on the ground or on the ball. Swimming exercises where you're laying your belly on the ground and you're lifting your legs up, lifting your arms up. Those are going to get that. And then oblique exercises. I've already mentioned the side plank one. You can also do like a chopping motion. So where you're maybe standing and doing a front lunge and you're coming down in a chopping motion, holding a weight in your hand or a ball in your hand. Those are good. Any sort of twisting motions are great. And, yeah, and then you can add some sort of crunches. If you're going to do a crunch, my favorites are you're laying on the ground, legs straight up in the air, and then reaching your hands for your toes. So that way you're keeping your back a little bit more neutral. And as you crunch, you're trying to pull the belly in. So many people, they use their legs and their hip flexors to crunch, or they use a lot of momentum, or they pull on their neck or head. Those are all big mistakes. So just really focus in on those abs when you do it, or do them on a ball as well. I like to do crunches on the ball because that will allow you to get a larger range of motion. You can go down lower than you normally would and get a bigger stretch. Plus it's supporting the ball, supporting your lower back.
All right. On to Sarah in Middleton. Hi, Sarah.
Hi there. I have a confounding set of circumstances, and I'll try to rush through them quickly to give you an overview and see if you have some thoughts. I'm 58. I need to drop between about 20 and 30 pounds. I have some limitations. Both knees have been scoped, and I have a lower back problem, which I think is directly related to the knee issue. I've been slowly working off time on my NordicTrack, which I really like, and I'd like to be able to do 20 minutes a day without messing up my back. In the meantime, I have found weight loss to be very frustrating because I can't work out at the intensity that I would like. And without dropping any names, I've been on one of these weight loss programs where you buy their food. I find it very frustrating from a whole range of circumstances. In addition, I understand that some of the medications that I'm taking, and there are two of them, have been somewhat implicated in weight gain. I don't know if they're if they have an issue with making it more difficult to lose weight. My thyroid is great. I've had that tested recently. So any thoughts or recommendations you have would be appreciated.
From an eating standpoint, I would focus on eating, like I said before earlier, just whole grains, whole foods, nothing that's processed or have a lot of chemicals in it. That's the best way to go for eating. And just watching your portion size and only eating when you're hungry or when you need food. And when you do eat, don't overeat. So keeping the portion size down. Exercise-wise, if you have bad knees, squats still may be an okay exercise. Just don't go down as low. I can do about a 45-degree squat, so it's about a half squat. And my knees don't bother me, but if I get much lower than that, they start to bother them. In the pool, if you have access to a pool, the knees will be fine. The back should be all right. You could do any sort of running or skipping exercises in the pool or treading water, or if you can swim, you can do that. For your lower back, depending on the issues with it, and again, I would talk to a doctor to get confirm what you can or can't do, but focusing on those deep core muscles, the caller before I explained how to focus on those deep core muscles, really strengthening those up can have huge implications on helping heal your back. And I think that was all your questions. So, and yes, the medications definitely can play a role in them. So I don't know if you could talk to your doctor about finding alternative medications, or maybe as you get healthier, you'll be able to wean yourself off them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sarah, for calling. Good luck to you. Joe in La Crosse, your turn.
Hi, thanks so much for doing the show.
Sure.
Interesting. I'm a former good athlete, weightlifter, weighed about 170 pounds and squatted about 430 pounds. Now, shockingly, I have a pretty bad back problem at 40, and I've gained about 30 pounds since then. I can't run. I used to play a lot of basketball, just sort of like beer ball and softball, and kept active, but my back really hurts a lot and interferes with my ability to sleep. I found myself being sluggish because of that. And I'm wondering, I don't normally have access to a pool. I could probably join the Y. I can't run or play basketball or swing a bat, all the things I used to love to do. And I'm wondering if you have any recommendations. I have a spondylolisthesis, which is like a vertebrae that moved and a disc that's sticking out. And I definitely at 40 don't want to have a surgery that would fuse my vertebrae.
Yeah.
Because I've read horror stories.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a couple of things. I don't know how it would feel on your back, but doing body weight exercises from a strength training standpoint with single leg. I don't know if you could do that or not, but one of my favorites is a single leg squat. You can either do it from the ground or like on a bench, and you just go to one leg and you squat down as low as you can and then coming up. And that way you don't have to load your spine with any sort of weight. That's a good exercise you could do. And even some sort of lunging motions. You could hold some dumbbells by your side and do like lunges, or I call it Bulgarian squat, where you have your one leg like on a bench or something that's about 18 inches, and then just squat up and down. So like a single leg squat. Those sorts of one-legged stuff, you can get away with not using too much weight and still challenging the muscles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from a cardiovascular standpoint, can you climb stairs? Have you found that to be okay?
I can, yeah. I climb stairs every day. We'll try to get in my office and stuff. I've never tried it as exercise
Yeah.
Per se. You know, everything kind of, affects my back a little bit. But
yeah.
No, there's nothing I can really do about it, so yeah. I'd rather just have a little pain and lose some weight.
Yeah, you know, I would try to do that as well, and if you have access to at least 10 flights of stairs, that's ideal, because if it's only like 3 or 4 flights, that's not going to do a whole lot. You can have to go up and down them so many times. Right. If you can take the elevator back down. You can maybe hold a few light dumbbells, you know, 5, 10, 15 pounds on each side, if that doesn't bother the back too much. You know, walking up hills, if you have access to hills, that can be a pretty good thing as well. You say you don't have a gym right now, but an elliptical machine might be a good solution. When you do any of these exercises, really just be conscious of pulling that stomach in and keeping it tight. That's from the exercise standpoint. From a nutritional standpoint, you know, you just can't eat like you did when you were lifting really heavy and active all the time. So you just got to cut your portions down, get more whole, you know, natural foods in you, like I've been saying. And the weight should come off pretty well. It's just a lot of times we're so used to eating a certain amount of food because that's what we've always eaten. And our bodies may not need that much. Well, it obviously doesn't need that much anymore. And that's why it's telling you. So some of that is like psychological as well. And just cutting down the portion size. And if you do have unhealthy eating habits in some areas, trying to watch those.
All right.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Lynn emailed and wonders what you think of the kettlebell.
Oh, I love kettlebells. I was just in Las Vegas this weekend with about 30 fitness professionals from all over the world. And, you know, kettlebells are one of the hottest things now. And if you guys don't know what they look like, they're basically a giant ball. Looks like a cannonball with a handle, just one handle. It's pretty fat. And it's a lot more awkward than the normal dumbbells, and that's the beauty of it. It'll allow you to do some swinging motions and just some different exercise. You can do a lot of the same things they use dumbbells for too, but they're gaining more and more popularity, and I think over the next 5 to 10 years, you'll really see a mainstream.
Are they various weights? Or?
Yeah, you can have them from, I've seen ones that are like 5 pounds up to well over 100 pounds. Generally for women, starting off like around a 20 or 25 pound, it depends on the exercise. Some 15 pounds, I like to use, it depends, but 50 to 70 pound kettlebells are good.
Well, I tell you what, it's been great talking with you once again. And let's go back to your website just a minute.
So. Yeah, it's Dustin Maher Fitness, DustinMaher Fitness.com. If you're in the Madison area, I got my boot camp program. We got 12 or 10 locations, MadisonBootCamps.com. And then my Fit Moms for Life DVD series. We give the first one away for free. If you just want a good weight training, cardiovascular, core strengthening program, FitMomsForLife.com. We'll send the first one out. Just pay for shipping. You can see if the program's right for you.
Dustin, thanks a bunch. We'll look forward to your next visit.
Thank you.
Dustin Maher, an area leading personal trainer, works out of Supreme Health and Fitness in Madison, and has a number of things going. Take a look at his website there and see what he's got. He's got a lot there. Dustin Maher, our guest. And he'll be back probably in about a month or so, and we'll talk with him again. Coming up, we're going to take a look at climate and weather with our weather guide, Steve Ackerman and John Martin, next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.